Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no-apologies exposition of God's grace. I'm Pastor Brett Walker. As we continue our look at the five promises we make when we join the local church, we look at what it means to faithfully participate in its ministries by our gifts. Giving is an unpopular topic in the church, and often a sermon about tithing gives the impression that the church only wants our money. But we will see that stewardship is not about an amount, but the faithful management of resources that God gives to us. And our giving is a response to the love and grace He has already shown. So grab your Bible, turn it to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and join us as we examine what it means to support the church by our gifts. Now please take out your Bibles, either the ones that you brought with you or the ones in the pews, and turn in them with me to the book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles. We are continuing our sermon series based on the five promises that we make when we join the local church. And the five promises are to fully participate, faithfully participate in the ministries of the local church by our presence, our prayers, our gifts, our service, and our witness. This week we're going to look at how we participate in the ministries of the local church by our gifts, by our giving. And so let us hear the word of the Lord for us this morning. Chapter 29 of 1 Chronicles. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom yet alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones and of diverse colors, and all manners of precious stones, and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. Even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver, to overlay the walls of the houses withal. The gold for the things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams and of silver 10,000 talents and of brass 18,000 talents and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy. May God pour out his rich blessing upon this, the reading of God's holy word. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be found acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There is a lot of confusion in the modern church over what it means by stewardship. Stewardship, it's a term that we equate with money. As soon as we hear stewardship, we automatically say, oh, they're talking about money again. Well, stewardship is about so much more than just money. You see, when the Bible was translated into English under King James in 1611, everybody at that time knew what a steward was. Everybody at that time knew what stewardship was. They knew what a steward was. And what a steward is a person who works at a manor. He's the person to whom all the running of the business of the manor, the day-to-day business of the manor, is entrusted. And so all the resources of the manor are at that person's disposal in order that all the business of the manor can be carried out. And so the Lord doesn't have to worry about whether the business is done. He's entrusted the business to a person called a steward. So stewardship is about managing the resources that are given to us. In fact, the steward of the manor doesn't own any of the resources that he has to run the manor. And yet, all the resources of the manor are at his disposal for him to dispose of as he sees fit for the running of the manor. It's a position of trust, and it's a position of great loyalty and also a great honor to be a steward. In order to be a steward, you have to be trustworthy. Well, this is what God is calling us to. When Aaron and I first joined the church in Pittman, we didn't know how much to give because we had never seen it modeled. We hadn't been part of a church for so long. And so Aaron said to me, well, how much do we give? And I said, I don't know. I guess when I was a kid, you know, my parents used to put like $10 in the plate, so maybe we can put 20, you know. I was going by what I saw. And later that year, we had a church-wide study. It was called Treasures of the Transformed Life. Treasures of the Transformed Life. And in this study, every single small group in the church went through this book as a study, as a Bible study. Every person in the church had a copy of this book, and it was a 40-day devotional. Every day we were to read a little bit of this book for 40 days. And then on Sunday, the preacher would preach a sermon based on that week's lessons. It was a really fantastic study, and it was church-wide, and everybody was doing the same thing, and it was really nice. But it looked at these five things that we're looking at today. The way we promise to uphold the church by our presence, our prayers, our gifts, our service, and our witness. And it looked at each one in a different week. When we got to the section on gifts, on supporting the church by our gifts and giving, it talked a great deal about tithing and biblical reasons for tithing. Tithing, again, the word tithe is something that we today don't quite understand. But again, in 1611, when the Bible was translated into English, it was easy for everybody to understand what a tithe was. The tithe, by the way, the word tithing, or the tithe, has nothing to do with money itself. The word tithe is an old English word which literally means one-tenth. It's just the way they said a tenth. So instead of reading tithe, we could read one-tenth. That's what a tithe is, a tenth. And it comes from Genesis chapter 14, when Abraham was returning from battle. He had conquered, he had vanquished his foes. He had rescued his nephew Lot. And on the way back, he met Melchizedek, who was the high priest of Salem, the priest of the God Most High. And he gave him a tenth of everything that he had obtained in this military campaign. So that's where the concept of a tithe was first established and is carried all throughout the Bible. Aaron and I looked at this and we said, well, obviously $20 a week is not a tenth of what we make. And so we started talking about, well, let's increase a little bit here and a little bit there. But God kept pressing on our hearts, and finally we said to each other, why don't we just act in faith? Why don't we just give a tenth of what we're making and see what happens? And if we find that we're struggling, we can pull back a little bit, but we'll start with that. And ever since then, we've not really had to pull back. It's odd because it's God's economy. It's not our economy. And God's math is different than our math. Because we were living paycheck to paycheck. So where in the world were we going to come up with giving a tenth of our salary to the church? How in the world was that going to work? We were going to have to cut back somewhere else. But in fact, what we found is that as we started giving to the church a tenth of everything that we made, we had more left over at the end of the month than we had before. We were no longer living paycheck to paycheck. All of a sudden, we started to have an abundance. And not only that, we started giving to other things. It got to a point where we were like, well, okay, where can we give now? You know? And we started sponsoring children through Compassion International. And we sponsored Aaron's cousin, who was a missionary. We started sponsoring the Rambos, who came to this church and spoke a few months ago. Jen Andretti, who came here last week, was talking about sponsoring children. We decided we were going to sponsor a young girl in Mexico to send her to high school. And all these things, we kept giving more and more and more, and we found that we couldn't outgive God. We just could not outgive God. I heard it said one time that there was a millionaire who was asked about his giving. He said, I keep shoveling it out, and God keeps shoveling it back in. But the problem is, God's shovel is bigger than mine. And he said, I can't keep up. Well, this is what we're looking at today in this text. I want to look at three ways that our giving should reflect our faith. Three ways in which our giving should reflect our faith. First of all, giving must be in the right purpose. Giving must be in the right purpose. In verse 1 of chapter 29, David says, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. In other words, this temple that we're building, it's not for us. It's for God himself. That's the right purpose. His giving was in the right purpose. It's not for man, but for the Lord. We need to give not to please others, not to show off, but for God, for what we're called to by God, for all the things that God gives to us. It's just a response to his grace is our giving. I think of the Matthew passage that we read today where he said, you know, the hypocrites would go into the synagogue and blast a trumpet to announce that they were giving just so that people would see, so that people would say, oh my goodness, you are giving so much. That is so amazing. That's not why we give. We give for God. And in fact, I'll be honest with you, I toil with this. Okay? And my reasons for telling you how much we give is not so that you will glorify us, but that you will glorify God, because God keeps providing to us. Keeps providing to us. It's a response to God's grace. You know? When we had a stewardship campaign in Pittman, and I said, well, why don't we have people who are tithing get up and give a witness and explain how they give and why they give and how God keeps providing for them? Because I think if you ask anybody who steps out in faith and gives 10% of their income to the local church, they will tell you that God provides for them. God provides for them. It's just usually the first response. I think of my Aunt Edith. My Aunt Edith, who was a faithful Christian, who was having trouble with her bills one time, my uncle gave her $2,000 and she tithed it to her church. She gave $200 to her church. He got upset with her. He said, I didn't give you $2,000 so you could give money to your church. She said, if you give money to me, you're giving money to my church. That's just the way it is. You know, she was very faithful. But again, we don't give to please others, but we give to please God. And we always have to remember that this church is God's church. The church will be here long after we're gone. It's been here long since before anybody here was born, I'm sure. Pretty sure nobody here is 150 years old, right? It's been here for a long time. It'll be here for a long time. It's God's church. It's not ours. So we're not just giving for ourselves. We're giving for God. So giving must be in the right purpose. Number two, giving must be in the right degree. David in verse 2 said, I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God. And then he goes into this long list of things that he prepared. And this was stuff that came out of his own personal treasury. David was a man of wealth. He had been a military general and he had gone on many conquests and he had much spoil, as it were, in his treasury. And he gave out of his own possessions. He gave to the building of the church or the building of the temple. And now he talks about a lot of things, talents of gold and this and that and the other thing, 7,000 talents of refined silver, 3,000 talents of gold, and we don't know how much that is. In my commentary, it says that the amount of money that David provided or the amount that he gave out of his treasury was worth today would be worth about $600 million. That's how much David gave for the building of the temple, out of his own personal wealth, because it was for God. It must be in the right degree. He said, with all my might I have prepared for the house of my God. It's not about how much. It's not a set amount. It's about, is it all that I can? Is it my best? Am I giving my best for God? You know? In verse 6, it says that the people offered willingly. All the people gave according to their own ability. So it's not about how much. It's about, is it my best? Is it truly my best? In the book of Leviticus, we read that that God had provided an inheritance to all the 12 tribes of Israel, with one exception, and that was the tribe of Levites. The Levites were consecrated for service to God in the temple, and they did not receive any property for an inheritance. And because of that, all the other tribes were called upon to give a tenth of their provisions in order to support the Levites in their service to God. So that the Levites wouldn't have to worry about the mundane things like going to work or doing other things, but they could dedicate their entire lives to the worship of God. And it was their responsibility to pack up the tabernacle, to move it from place to place, to carry the ark of God on their shoulders. The Levites had a very special purpose, but they had no property and no inheritance other than their service to God. When you were born a Levite, especially a Levite male, you knew that one day you would be in the service of the temple, in the service of God. And that was their inheritance. But as long as the tribes would support the Levites by their tithing, then they could continue to do exactly what they were doing, what they were called to do by God. And what we want to pray for today is more tithes for more Levites, more people in service to God, Right now the church is in a crisis. There's more people leaving the ministry than there are entering. We want more tithes for more Levites supporting ministry. So we've looked at giving must be in the right purpose. Giving must be in the right degree. And finally, giving must be in the right direction of affection. In verse 3, David says, I have of my own property. He says, I have set my affection to the house of my God. I have set my affection on the house of my God. We have to set our affection on our vision. Well, what is our vision? What is the vision of the church? What does this church want to do? How can we serve our community? How can we be the light of Christ? You know, the church is not supposed to be a fortress where we come and we're protected from the outside world. But the church is supposed to be a lighthouse set on a rock. And that lighthouse is supposed to always have that light going, that beacon going, to bring the people in from the stormy seas so that they can see and not crash on the rocks, so that they can be guided in to the glory of God. We're supposed to be a lighthouse, not a fortress. The song says, a mighty fortress is our God. God is a fortress, but our church is a lighthouse. We're a light on a hill. So what is our vision? How do we want to serve God? How can we be the light of Christ in the community? Think of a fully funded church. What could we do? What would we be able to do? What does the community need? What could we provide? You know, Colossians 3, 1 to 2 says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. Giving must be in the right direction of affection. Where is our affection? What are the things that we desire? What is the desire of our heart? What kind of things is the church doing for the community? How are we representing Christ? How are we being Christ to the world? So setting our affection in the right direction. As a redeemed and forgiven believer in Christ, where do you set your affection? What are the things that you give to with all your might? You could tell where your affections lie if you take a look at your checkbook register. What does it say about what you love? I mean, I'm telling on myself. I'm very convicted by that statement too. You look at what we spend our money on, and that tells you where our affections lie. But as God's church, as the body of Christ, what is important to us? Do we give for the right purpose? Not for man, but for the Lord? Do we give with all our might? Imagine a fully funded church, able to do God's work wherever He leads us. What would we be able to accomplish in His name? Or what wouldn't we be able to accomplish in His name? Let us pray. Oh, great and generous God, You provide all things for us, and You trust us to faithfully manage the resources You provide. Let us as a body be faithful in all things, just as the Israelites were faithful in giving to the building of Your temple. Your holy word tells us they offered willingly. We pray, O Lord, that You will see from us the same response to Your grace, Your goodness, and Your love. For we ask it in the name of Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. If you live in the Salem County area, you can join us in person. Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn holds its worship service every Sunday at 9 a.m. And Hudson United Methodist Church in Pedricktown holds its worship service at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. If our message has touched you in some way, won't you let us know in the comments? We hope you'll join us again for Guerrilla Christianity. God bless you.